This is selections from tapes made at a workshop with Bartholomew at La Solana near San Antonio, Texas, May 9th and 10th, 1987.
I think it imperative before we begin our 2 days that you understand what it is that we are moving toward. Because if you can keep that knowingness around you and about you and within you as we pretend to go through time-space, because you see there is no time-space. So we're going to pretend in these 2 days to move through time-space, the illusion that you have created in order to create your separated world. You see, it's illusory. But if you call this in mind, if what it is that we are seeking to explode in these 2 days, then the reality of that experience can come to you much quicker. So, all of you have been told that you are a person, a body, an accumulation of this and that, moving down a linear path to heaven. True? But this is not the truth. You are not moving down a linear path, and heaven is not at the end of the road, and you are not what you have been told that you are. But since you have created this separated world so well, you are very good at what you do. Do you see? You have created it so well, you believe it. And every moment, everyone else says, yes, it's true. Yes, you are separated. You are not this. You are not that. You are this. You are not spirit. You are not God. You are whatever. Now, along comes a windbag like this that says, no, that's not what you are, dog. There's something quite different. So the fun of this 2 days is to allow yourselves to begin to make real that which is real and to fade away from, to separate out from that which is unreal, which is your belief in your conscious mind, conditioned and supported by all of the separated wonders that you see about you. So, the job of the 2 days is to begin to make real, what is absolutely real, and begin, as many of you have already begun, to pull away from the concept of what is not. In other words, you haven't the foggiest conscious knowledge of who you are. Everything that you believe you are not. Now you say to me, oh, I know who I am, I'm spirit. I say, what's that? What's that? Talk about that, which is the first exercise this morning. You say, I am spirit, I am not body, I am spirit. Someone is coming, so. Two spirits have just entered. Three spirits have just entered. Four spirits of this. So, to simply repeat a few things. You have created a world of such power, of separation, that you honestly believe that you are a separated being. You believe it. A part of you is absolutely sure you would die for that concept. In fact, every lifetime you do die just for that concept. Yes, I am body and I'm dying and look at me. I'm dying and everybody sees this. Everybody cries. It's a great big, big, big commotion. And yes, you die. And you wake up and you said, I didn't die at all. And you try to yell back across the line. You know, I didn't really die, but nobody's listening because they're crying. Because they believe. And you've made yourself believe it. Now, there comes a time in your own growth you say, wait a minute. I have read all of the great tomes, and they all say one thing. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with my perception, because these people who do these wondrous things and break through the bounds of illusion come up on the other side and say, you've got it all wrong. You have got it all wrong. And it's time for us to be conscious of that in the living state rather than waiting until you die. How many times do you have to die to believe that you can't die? This kind of idea. All right, now, you read the tomes and out of it comes all of this determination. Something is wrong and I'm going to make sure that I get it this lifetime. So you come back, you say, I'm ready. I'm going to get it. And pretty soon the world says, oh, no, that's not true. You're a separated being. Don't you remember? Look at us. Look at you. Look at your feelings. Look at your pain. Look at your sorrow. How can you be God when you're such a mess? A little laughter here, please. Yes. So, out of all of this comes the slow lifetime after lifetime determination, I'm going to get it. Now, I will tell you something very frankly. Many of you have been on this round endlessly, and the magic of this time and coming into life at this time in history is that finally there is going to be enough energy so a lot of you are going to get it. You see, what was not present through all of your difficulties was an incredible help from the other side. You know, that just came thundering out of the blue and said, well, you ready? Here we come. You see? Now, who calls this in? The gods? Don't believe it. God? Don't believe it. You. Many of you said it's time to awaken because there's got to be something other than this, and it's time, and we are ready, so we have all of these things beginning to manifest. Now, how do you break through this illusion? How do you enter into what I would like for you to contemplate as the incredible mystery of who you really are? All of the pretenses aside, all of the illusions dropped, who are you? And therein lies the terror. You are so used to seeing and feeling and experiencing yourselves from these fractured mirrors of other people and your own fragmented self that you have become afraid of who you are. So you hide it. You hide it. You hide it under and behind and around you, somewhere out of sight. Now, you have absolutely to understand one thing. You can try to hide your divine self as best you can, but you cannot do it. Because there is no place to hide it. Because wherever you put it, you are there also. You see, you can't hide something that is everything. You are everything. And the divine is everything. Now you say, I am spirit. This is the words in your mind. I am spirit. Many of you participate in this Course in Miracles. And they say, you are not the body, you are spirit. And I say to you, all right, what does that mean? And the first exercise this morning is going to dwell just on that. Because in truth, unless you get past that concept, you're still stuck. Unless you get past that concept, I am spirit. Please hear this. Don't listen to anything if it confuses you. Drop it through the cracks in the floor. But attempt to hold this until we get through your thought, I am spirit, into the feeling of spiritness. Do you understand the difference? The idea in the mind, I am spirit, I am spirit. That is like saying, I am a Coca-Cola bottle. It's the same thing. It is the same thing. It's an idea in the mind. And until you break through idea into experience, you will not know who you are. And the job is to get, do you understand? Yes, you are spirit. I agree. Yes, yes, you are spirit. What does that mean? Until you know with every fiber of your being who you are, that you are that, without the words, without the ideas, just the knowing, you will still be caught. So the job in these 2 days is to break through from the intellectual hope and belief, I hope I am spirit, I hope I am spirit, to the knowing. And that is available any moment of your life, as soon as you're ready. And of course, what you're doing, all of you, wonderful ones, just wandering around waiting for the moment when you're ready. You see, you do what you do. You will do what you do. And one moment will come the explosion. And you choose. You see, you choose when that explosion will be. Some of you will begin to explode this weekend. Others will say, well, thank you, good, I'll go somewhere else. Next weekend, next year, next whatever. And so be it, that's fine. Because the appropriateness of your explosion is totally yours. You are ready when you want to be ready. And until then, you will continue to believe the separation. You see? So nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. It isn't like you are something wrong with you and we have to correct it. You see, if you get that kind of idea, then we're back to Coca-Cola bottles again. You are simply an incredible explosion extending itself into the wonder of an incredible pattern of beauty. And this is exactly what you should be doing. And what comes of this is exactly what should come of it. What doesn't come of it is exactly appropriate. You cannot make a mistake. You cannot not do this right. My greatest sorrow is when people come and believe that they have to do this workshop right. That somehow there is a wrong way to be who you are. Whatever you are doing, whoever you are, is perfectly appropriate. No ideas of, I've got to get out of this. I've got to stop being sorrowful. I've got to stop being this. I've got to... No, no, you don't. No, you don't. You just simply continue to be that which you are, moment after moment. And the explosion is building all of the time. And it is that sense of the rightness of your being that I seek us to connect with in these 2 days. On one level, we have to entertain the ego mind, but entertain it with things that we hope will begin to stretch it closer and closer to the boundaries of otherness. Now, some of you have been interested in such things as Zen. In the words of Zen, Buddha mind. Buddha mind. Now, in that tradition, they say, all sounds are mantra, all beings are Buddha. Now, in other traditions, they say, you are the Christ, part of that wonderful span of Christ. Now, dwelling on those thoughts will help us this 2 days, but please do not be deceived. If it is still a thought, it is still a Coca-Cola bottle. Do you understand? We have got to move from thought to experience. Otherwise, you will have wasted your time. Thought does not help. You know all the right thoughts. You have been thinking the right thoughts ever since you were little. God is love. That's right. But does that thought really pull you out of depression and into self-love? No. You have known all the thoughts. So we have to move from thought to knowingness. And you move through that through little games that we're going to play and let me do my job as best I can. And my job is simply to bring as much power into this day, into this room, that you can use as much of it as you want. Please hear this. You believe that because you have created in your mind a separated self, that you have lost God. You believe this. Because you have created a separated self that you call you, walking through life. You honestly believe that you've lost God. That in your very creation of the separated self, that somehow, and you don't know quite how, you've turned away and the light is gone. And you are walking in darkness as a separated self. You believe this. All of your analogies tell you something different. You go to Plato, simple. He just says, turn around and look, and you'll see the light. Everyone who's found it says, just stop. Don't keep walking. Turn around. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the shadows splayed on the screen. You're looking at the wrong thing. You keep walking. And then this illusion that if you keep walking in that direction, you will find what you seek. It's an illusion, my friends. You're not going to find it by walking down the road of trying to perfect your egos. Most of you really have been trained that you will find God if you make your ego perfect. Do you understand? You have to make a perfect ego. You have to never sin. You have to never do anything wrong. You have to always do what is right. You have always to think only holy thoughts. You have to never hurt anyone. Endless, 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 endless. And you honestly believe somewhere deeply within you that if you keep walking down that road, you will someday be perfect. You will someday make your ego perfect. Have you discovered that it doesn't work? Have you really sat down with yourself and said, this isn't working? The more I try to be holy, the less holiness appears clear. As soon as I take care of this problem, I walk 2 feet down and someone says, oh, that wasn't your real problem. This is your real problem. So now I go another 10 years trying to perfect my whatever. And someone says, oh, well, that was all so what? How about working on this? You see, endlessly down the road you go. All of them have said the same thing. Stop, sit down wherever you are on your linear path and begin to experience who you are. God does not know that you're naughty. God does not see all of that. Call it anything you want, divine, make your own names up. Please understand, it's as if you are all creating a drama and a story, and you're all telling it to each other, and you believe it very, very clearly. And you keep yelling up, this is an analogy, obviously, God up there, you're all yelling and you're just talking and telling him all about this. But you see, God is so vast and so wordless that all he looks down, we're playing a game here, he just sees all of you talking. He just sees it, wonderful. Look, they're having a wonderful time. Look, they're talking. He doesn't hear you. He doesn't hear you saying, I'm a sinner, I'm terrible, you have to love me, please love me, please love me. All the time, God is just loving you, setting it down, and you understand the analogy. I'm trying to get you to really understand that all of your ideas of the things that you have created as separated beings come right out of your own community thought form on this earth plane. And you will never, ever be at peace until you begin to feel something quite different. Now, you say that there are two strands. There's God and there's separated self. Now, I'd like to make a little bit of a shift here if I could. God can be found between your words. Now, let's just go on the verbal level. God is found between your words. You have in your mind a sentence, I am what? A sinner. I am bad. I am worthless. I am whatever. Idea stops, and then there is a space. Those of you who meditate with any regularity will realize that there are spaces between your thoughts. That's one of the whole reasons to meditate, to become alive to the reality that there are spaces between your thoughts. And it is in that space that you drop, experience who you are, and then go on to another thought. And then you stop, and you fall into the space, and then you go on again. Anyone who has meditated in any depth finds this out. It's as if there is the printout comes, and then everything stops. And then the out-breath comes. The silence comes. Falling into comes. You know. And then you rise up once again with another thought. Now, with your eyes closed, would you just let these words flow over your mind, please? That which you seek is closer than hands and feet. That which you seek is awaiting you to drop into it and to experience it totally. The thing that suspends you above it are those thoughts. The thoughts of the separated self. If you wish to know who you are, you will decide, thought after thought, to drop into the vast space within. You do it simply by deciding to do it. You do not have to stop anything. You do not stop thinking. You simply think, dropping. You simply turn your sweet will to dropping into. You do not know what you are dropping into. Just drop. This is the basis of our 2 days. To drop into. Your separated mind will tell you that you have to do something, change something, become different. And I am here to tell you that you do not. all you need to do. 100 times a day, 1,000 times a day, is to drop. It's simply to drop. Your awareness knows what that means. You do not have to train it. That which you seek underlies everything, and all you need to do is to drop. As you do this moment after moment in these 2 days, you will begin to feel within the chest area that which you're dropping into. Please hear this. One definition of what you're seeking is an incredible, vast reservoir of power waiting to receive you. And all you need to do is to say in your consciousness, drop. And you will begin to build the habit of dropping into. You see, you don't have to change anything. Just drop into. Your whole being wants to immerse in that. The separated one wants to know there is no separation. And you just do it moment after moment. Nothing fancy, nothing complicated, just drop. Each time you drop, you make the way easier. You drop deeper, you drop faster, you drop fuller, time after time. Another way, the arms are always there. All you have to do is let go and fall in. You do not have to create the arms. Just let go and fall. But begin, please, to drop over and over. Stop, if you will stop your walking and drop over and over again, you'll begin to learn something very interesting. When we return, we'll talk about what you've learned, but please, do you understand what I want you to do? Seated here is one thing, but you know, you don't spend a lot of your life seated like this. You spend your life in motion. So the job is not to have you drop as you sit. That's simple. But to drop as you walk, to drop as you listen, to drop as you hear, to drop as the mind starts to buzz. That's the lesson. As you hit the tennis ball. The drop is possible. It's all possible. You see, anything you create in your life, your own divine can use for the drop. I don't care what it is. You don't have to change anything. You just...
You really believe that you hold this outer structure together by your ideas, by your thoughts, by your energy. What you have got to learn is that it has gone into motion. You talk about karma? It's out there. It will go on its way, rejoicing, no matter what you do. So when you begin to pull back, there is that hesitancy. Well, if I'm not paying attention, if I'm not really worried about making money, maybe I won't have any. If I'm not really worried about impressing the world with my wisdom and my beauty and my wonder, maybe they will not be impressed. But when you begin to pull back and you begin to experience that this wondrous inner landscape is so abundantly exciting and marvelous that all of a sudden you begin to realize that the outer world no longer transfixes all of your awareness, that you have more space within you. It feels as if you become very much larger inside of yourself. And the outer world, instead of becoming less important, and it is not It is not a true statement to say it becomes less important. What you begin to realize is that it is inside of you also. This external world is in you also. There is no outside and inside. There is no such concept. But right now you truly believe that. Now, I just ask you to begin to hope that if you pay attention to dropping into this inner landscape moment after moment after moment, to start hearing birds from inside of you, to start seeing people from inside of your heart and not from your mind, you can do this. To start doing everything from inside of this heart area where the dropping in occurs, you will find that your life begins to expand so that this inner extends further and further out, so that all of the separated ones are no longer separated. They're somehow inside of you. Do you understand what we're moving for? I know this is an intellectual concept at this time, but if you just keep doing it, you'll realize that you get vaster and vaster, which means that your outer world becomes more and more within you. You have been told that everything is within you. One of the basic concepts that you're being taught in this so-called New Age is everything is in you. Nothing is outside of you, no matter how it might appear so. Well, one doesn't really know that until you start wandering around this inner landscape. And I mean very clearly, when you speak to someone, if you notice, we're going to do an exercise. When you start talking to people, you will realize you talk to them from your head. You talk to people from your head. That is where you are actively participating in this conversation. When I ask you to slip to your heart and start talking from your heart, something very different starts to happen. And we will experiment with this. All of these are just simple ways of getting you back into the reality inside of you, out of which comes the knowing of who you are. Now, let us remember one thing. Not one word that I say to you is going to change anything. Not one word that you hear is going to change anything. What is going to change is dropping from the realm of conceptualization down into the realm of experience. We will say this over and over in these 2 days. You have been trained to live your life through working through conceptualization. If you will begin to understand that there is a place within you that you can drop that will create its own wonder for you in collaboration with something vaster, then we are on the road to truth. Do you understand? Because you must know inside of yourself, one of the things you hear again and again, because of course of Miss Roberts and so forth, is that you create your own reality. And it's true. Nevertheless, when people come to me, they say, well, but what kind of reality should I create? The moment you ask that question, you are back in the realm of the mind. There is a power within you that will create for you on your behalf in collaboration with a part of you if you will simply allow it to do so. Otherwise, the separated consciousness, what you call the ego, will do it for you. You see, people say, well, I'm not going to try to do anything. I'm just going to let things happen. Well, what happens when you just let things happen is that the unconscious creates your world. Now, isn't that wondrous? Won't you laugh just a little? Can't you imagine what your world is like when your unconscious is running amok, creating your reality? You know, your unconscious is the reservoir of all the fears, of all the habit patterns, of all the things that went awry, and of all the terrors that it has to keep you safe from. So the unconscious is running out there creating something. You see a beautiful girl, all of a sudden you go, oh, I remember about beautiful girls, and then you're in terror. You see, whatever happens, the unconscious just allows itself to play out. But when you finally come to the space within your journey that says, now wait, I do not choose to create my own reality anymore along the same lines that I have done in the past. I'm ready for something new. This is why, in your terms, the Course in Miracles was born, to start you on another kind of trajectory. This is why all of the people who tell you that there is a wondrous pool of amazing delight and wonder and wisdom and compassion that can be called on at your own sweet will to create your reality for you, and that's what we're talking about this weekend. You can do it with your slivered idea of who you are, or you can just jump off into the abyss and say, something else, do it for me. And that is where most of you stand, right on that wonderful abyss. And you look down and you think, oh, I don't know. I can't see the bottom. I don't know what's down there. And then you stand back up and you look at your own reality that your separation has created, and you go, but that doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to be in fear, because you see, fear is really so much of what we're talking about. And when inside of your being you allow yourself to drop into and let that other begin to create your words, to create your action, to create your thought, to create your feeling, then you are along the road of God realization. But this, my friends, is the choice. You stand on the abyss. In the next year, the energies that are being manifested on this earth plane will be of great help to you if you will decide to jump off. Now, for some of you, that has some very literal meanings. Those of you, when we get to the question and answer section, some of you are at total crossroads in your lives. Total crossroads. And in order to make that new choice, it's going to require jumping off. Just holding your breath, holding your nose, and jumping off. And that takes a certain amount of courage. But at the same time, there's an exhilaration from the free fall that is absolutely delightful. What I'm asking us to do in these 2 days is to begin to build the confidence that there is a place within your physical body, when asked to perform on your behalf, out of its vastness and its wisdom, that it will do so. An overwhelming desire to simply see everything from inside of you is what is required. To know that there is a light inside of you that, when turned to, will illuminate the next moment only. Please hear this. The next moment only. All you need is the next moment. You do not know and do not need to know 5 years down. You need to know the next moment only. And that light within, if you say, show me, that's all you, it's not very fancy. Show me. Tell me. Scream at me. Do something. And it will begin. And the job is to just take the cork out of this incredible well and allow it to begin to be alive in your life. You do not need anything outside of you. Anything. And the more that you look outside and try to find value out there, the longer the journey. Just remember, the light is in you, and it will shine out for you every time you ask it. The question rather is, who is praying to who for what? Yes, I understand. Fascinating. Now, there is one kind of prayer, and only one, in my framework. That doesn't mean your framework doesn't work for you. In my framework, that is totally useful. Now, I'm speaking to you, all right? Now, first, before I begin that, I have to say there are many people on the path of unfoldment that have to hang on to prayer as they would hang on to a life raft in the middle of a sea. But I'm not talking to them. You're asking the question, I'm answering you. Those of you in this room or anyone else hearing these words, if prayer is expedient and useful, then use it, by all means. I'm responding to your particular question. At the stage of unfoldment that you are, there's only one prayer that I think is helpful. And it is to constantly, in every moment, whatever arises, you ask one thing. Show me the real. And that's it. Nothing past that. Don't allow, and just without even knowing what you're talking about. You see, if you say, show me the real, and then you have an idea of real, oh, it's going to have light around it, it's going to be golden, it's going to dance, it's going to sing, it's going to expand, then we're back in mind. Show me the real. You see, you are the guardian of the threshold. You. And you allow any information to pass through you by your own sweet choice. When you say just that simple, everything you hear, everything you observe, everything you feel. You have a feeling, for example. Now, emotion comes up, and you're in the midst of incredible jealousy, let's say. Jealousy is one of the main problems along with guilt. These go hand in hand. Because you see, you feel guilty about being jealous, and then that makes you feel more jealous because you think other people don't have guilt, and oh, back and forth. I'm talking to all of you now, but actually the universal switch off is between, you know, guilt is that which kills life. Guilt is the joy killer. Guilt is the destroyer of the feeling of life. It is that. So, you have a feeling, and let us say it's anger, jealousy, any one of them. Now, up comes this. In that moment, you say, show me the real. Show me the real. Now, there is a part of you that knows that jealousy is false. Because if there's only one, then how could you be jealous? For what? How could you be jealous if there's only one and you have it all? Then why would you want this? Because you're that. You see, the mind says we're all one. But the emotion arises. Now what happens is you realize you are all a great collector of old information. And the moment that you decide, in the moment of this feeling, acknowledging that it's there, you simply say, show me the real. And then, and this is important, wait. Wait. Almost hold your breath. Get inside of you and wait. You see, when you say, show me the real, what is going to begin to happen when you do it over and over again, when you look at a face, show me the real. Because you know, something's wrong. It is not fragmented. It doesn't give you the joy and feeling of oneness. Peace is not present. Do you understand? So you know there's something awry. If you are not at total peace within you, something is awry in your perception. Not in the world, but in your perception. And the way back to that feeling of one perception, seeing only one, comes with this kind of endless returning to. Show me the real. Now, the being begins, that part of you that knows what is real. You see, in the old Buddhist terms, which is my familiarity, so let me use them. There's a blind Buddha within you. Make him see. What does this mean? All right, in your Christian terms, there's a Christ within. Let me see its light. I use whatever words you want. But there's this knowing that there is somehow magically, mysteriously, wondrously something in you that can see it with reality. Your choice, lovely one, is to go back again and again and again. And every time you do that, with gentle, good humor, not, you know, but gentle, good humor within yourself, pulling yourself back, what you're saying is, I am now calling on that part of me that sees absolutely to see for me, through me, about me, within me. And it will happen. So that prayer is constant. The practice, another way, the practice of the presence of God. When people hear this, they get an idea that they have to feel the big green giant of a God and there he is present in their living room or something, which would actually be terrifying. You know, right now, if you were all to see God manifest, whew, what a time we'd have, picking up the pieces, you see. Yes, well done. But nevertheless, you know, this constant acknowledging that you are fragmented, seeing with fragmentation, and dropping, in my words, dropping and asking that the wholeness in you see. Other terms, let the God within see, whatever it might be. And it has to go on all the time because you are so used to seeing fragmented vision. But I will tell you absolutely truthfully, my friend, if you do this with all of the sweet wonder and will that you have within you, you will see. You will see. There is a blind Buddha in you, and you can make it see. And it will, if you simply return to it again and again. Someone asked me, well, why can't I just say it totally and fully once and let it be happening? My answer is, if you could totally and fully do it once, it would happen. And that's when you have these wonderful stories about people getting into sudden enlightenment, but they're rare. Because you have to gather around you this energy that is the clarity of deep vision. The eyes see fragmentation. The soul, if you will, another word, sees the whole of it. And all you do is go back again and again, and that is the only prayer. You see, otherwise we're playing magic. You know, if we go out and say, oh, God, make him love me. Oh, make her love me. Oh, here we go again. Get me a Mercedes. Or whatever it might be. All of those things, you can manifest those things. But then all of a sudden you're sitting in your Mercedes and you think, well, this isn't God. At least it's not what I thought it was going to be. You know, understand. This kind of thing. So the only prayer that meets the whole upswell of heart desire is this kind of prayer. Other than that, all right. Thank you. If you were a student of mine, I would say something like this. Every day, over and over again, do something fearless. Do something requiring fearlessness. Over and over again. Now look, just as a runner needs to develop the muscle in the legs to long distance run, so does the seeker who wishes to be a finder and to drop away from seeking needs to develop a certain muscle tone. And one of those is fearlessness. And there are 100 times a day, if you turn your awareness to it, that you can develop the muscle tone of fearlessness. And I can define 100 different ways, but you will know. Speaking deep truth when it would be easier to slide and come out of the ego. Choosing to say no when you know that the world would want you to say yes. All of those following as best you can that courageous part of the inner that calls to you again and again and again. You develop the muscle tone of fearlessness. Do you see? Now, because the whole being says, I will somehow lose if I am myself. Because that's what you've been taught. All your life you've been taught. If you are who you are, somebody says, don't do that. Just don't do that. That's just not convenient. Your being you is not convenient to me. So you be what I want you to be, and then we'll be convenient. Hmm? The problem is the person standing next to him says, that's not convenient for me. This is what happens. The duality split the minute you have a mother and father, unless somehow they are of one mind and one heart, which, quite frankly, rarely happens. So the duality is there instantly. Mother says, oh, show me how you dance, and so you dance, and father says, what is that racket in the living room? Then what do we do? But this happens very early. Very early. Pick up the child because it's crying. No, let it cry. You're going to spoil it. Here we go. It starts very early. So all of the duality springs. And one thing that you are confident of is to be who you really are is going to get you in trouble. Now, you have to reverse that deeply within yourself. And you do it by, as best you can, going inside and saying, who am I really now? What would I really out of that place want to say and do? If I had no one out there to discipline me, what would I really say? What would I really feel? How would I move? How would I create my life? Do you understand? And it takes 100 courageous steps a day of being who you really are. And when you turn this around, you become very excited. Now, I will tell you that the world will not jump up and down in delight. I mean, I will just tell you. It will not. And applaud you and say, what a wonderful thing I'm seeing. They will all say, stop. I had it all figured out. And now you're acting like this. This is scaring to me. So you have to stop. So this is why I say, go inside deeply within and say, what would you have me say? You know, don't forget you're not in this alone. You have this incredible vortex of power that is screaming in your ear all the time, saying, now? Shall you listen to me now? Shall we do this together now? Or do you want to walk by yourself a little more? You know, it's always hovering around. Now, when you really understand that that's real, and dare to speak for it on its behalf over and over again, the magic happens that the outer no longer objects so strongly. You see, when you unite with the deep upswell of God within you to speak and do and whatever, at the beginning it's kind of frightening. But then the other person realizes, wait, it seemed to be frightening, but it's not. It's all right. It's all right. Courage comes. But you have to do it over and over again. You know, a high diver goes up in stages. No, doesn't start at pool level and then throw themselves from the top. You see? So, what I'm asking is the very deepest truth again. You simply must know there is a wisdom inside that is absolutely waiting to communicate and to blend and to express. And so you have to keep asking. And then have the courage to say it. And as you move closer and closer to the delight and the wonder of that companionship, at one stage it feels like a companion. It feels like you and it. You know, it does. It does. It feels like you and it. Just as Mary Margaret experiences me and it, her, what, everybody says, what is it? Something. This thing. And then comes the magic moment when there's only one. But don't worry. When you really understand, you want to walk with instead of alone and call again and again and again, it becomes very, very exciting. What you do, of course, in the energy sense, is to ignite another energy field, put up into your consciousness, and you are much greater. And you feel yourself to be greater. Not in some kind of arrogance, but vaster, freer, more inclusive. And then one day, you'll realize that you've jumped. You see? Does that? People get tired of different tributaries, of going up this one and coming back, and going up this one and coming back, and the being says, look, it's got to be simpler than this. It can't be so confusing. It can't be so energy draining. And so you sit down and say, all right, if I want God and God wants me, then now is the time and I'm going to sit here until he shows up. This kind of statement. The Buddha, the Christ, they just did it. I'm going to sit here till you show up. Now, that's a metaphor. Meaning, if you simply keep single-pointed on what it is that you are doing, this shaft of light will get larger and larger and larger. The point of it will go deeper and deeper into the physical body, and you will be filled with light. Question. How to find out what would be the maximum next motion? Is this a fair thing? Now look, in order to answer the question, you have to understand exactly what you're asking. Now, you have to understand that energy in this moment always has an extension. You're never sitting in the dark. Never. Thank you. Never. Never are you sitting in the dark. Always the next step is filled with light. It's always there. Now, you sit here and you say, I want to know which way to move, how to do this, where should I go, what should I leave, what should I take up. Now, if you believe the next statement that I make, then everything will be easy. And this statement is this. If you sit down carefully and with all due respect for your own process and ask yourself, all right, self, I know you know. I know you know. So we are going to find this out together. Because I know that you know. You see, it's the doubt. You are never trained to know that you know. You're always trained to know, usually, that your parents know, and then your teachers know, and then, if you're a lovely lady, I guess your husband knows, or whatever might happen if you ever want to do all that. Do you understand? There's always that next authority. And what I am saying is that's not going to work, because the other authorities, no matter how wise, cannot do it. Now, what it takes is a growing belief that there is somewhere in here the answer. You see, that is what I would ask you to really concentrate on, not what that place is saying to you, because that's the next step. You've got to begin, lovely lady, to realize you have the light, the answer in you now. That is the hard part. Once you really know it is there, then you will go to it and you'll say, all right, tell me, tell me, tell me, and it will start to tell you. Do you understand the step I'm talking about? And this is essential for you. What is your age?
29.
Oh, good. All right. Simple. But it's got to be done. And that is an ever-growing assurance that you have the answer. Now, I will tell you how to begin to strengthen that. Stop asking other people. First off, please, just stop. Because every time you do that, you are assuring yourself again that it's out there, that someone else has the wisdom to tell you what you already know. You see, so every time you stop that kind of action, you're on your road. Now, the second thing is to take yourself seriously. You know, the hardest thing I have to do in dealing with humans is to let you take yourself as seriously as you take everybody else. You take all of their opinions very seriously, but you never turn around and say, well, what do I think about that? So inside of you, stop the exit outside. Every time you're tempted, pull it back inside and just sit down and say, wait, look, two choices. And this is the obvious answer. Which one feels right? Not which one thinks right. Which one feels right? And one easy way to decide these things, if you're going to leave something behind, is to envision yourself in it 10 years from now and how that feels. And envision yourself leaving it, how that feels. Take all of these images inside and ask that feelingness within you to say, which feels right? Not which thinks right. You will be surprised. You'll be very surprised. Now, all of these questions have to do with life on the earth plane. All right? And that's a different quality than the God self. Nevertheless, you have every right to want to make the most balanced, centered choice that you can. And this is how you have to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the building of the belief in your own wisdom. Youth rarely has it because they're not trained. They're not trained that way. But you can do it over and over again. Take it in, put it under the microscope of your own feeling, your own awareness, and you will begin to see. Now, the next step that's hard is trusting and just doing. So what if you fall on your face? It doesn't matter. What matters is not the action. What matters is that the inner action has started to change into another direction. You know best about you, and that is just the truth. And the more you go back and ask again and again and listen to yourself, this is why I had all of you write. You know, it helps. It helps. Now, if you want to really do this with great class, at the same time that you are asking within yourself, you say, that which knows deeply what is always best for all, guide me. Just do it. But you see, to now say, guide me, without strengthening that pulling within, then you're going to look out there for your guidance again. You'll say, oh, God's guiding me through that voice, or through that voice, or through that voice. And that isn't what we... Do you understand? Yes, I'm talking to you again. So it's that inner statement that I know. And you know, that is absolutely in the face of what all of you have been taught. That you know. That you know. But you do know. Is that clear?
Yes, it
is. Everyone would love to have that feeling of rightness. And that's how right action comes.
Right action is not an idea in the mind that you get out of a book. It comes from inside of your being. Everything rises up and says, this is right. The world says, you're crazy. That's not right. That can't be right. That can't be right. But inside, you know. And so you don't even listen. You just do it. It's that kind of blend. You know, you can't make the wrong move. You can't do it wrong. You can't do anything wrong. That is a mental concept. Yes, please hear me, because I need to see this to you very strong. You can't do it wrong. You can't. Whatever you choose will be absolutely full of God. Whatever one you choose, because it all is God. So please hear me. You can't choose other than God. I don't care what you choose. I know I'm way out there esoterically, but I still say to you, please, a part of your being, please hear me. You cannot choose except God, because it's all God. You know, I've been many, many places in the createdness and outside of it, and I have never found any more God than is right here. Ever. It's either all God, or something very strange is happening. So, you see, you're all afraid that if you do what you want, that it's going to be wrong. And what I keep saying is, if you want it, it's right for you. If it's so much of what you want, it means that it is what you need deeply to experience. And that's the courage to live out of that center instead of fooling yourselves. Next. I have to answer your question. On two levels. All right. On the highest level, you know, a part of you knows, on the highest level, that it's all mind stuff. A creation of mass mind. Deer included. Tree included. Earth consciousness included. A whole drama. And that it, as it arises, so will it go. Something else will take its place. Nothing is written in granite. It comes and it goes with the flowing as in the movie. Part of you knows that. But you see, that's not the part of you that's asking your question. The part of you that's asking the question is the part of you that really does bleed for all of the created ones, who seem to be being used by a consciousness that has forgotten harmlessness. Now, what is going on for you, and what I would say to you, my friend, is if you want to really help harmlessness be a reality for the four-legged, for the winged, for the finned ones, for all of them, for the land, then you have to, every moment of your day, be as harmless as you know how to be. And in your becoming harmless, you will then, in your own way, affect harmlessness around you. And that in its turn, around it. Do you understand? You cannot affect harmlessness by being harmful. It doesn't help those that you're trying to help if you feel polarized against the white man. Because you're polarized against yourself. Because you are a white man, and a part of you knows that. If you really wish to help, really, and make real change, be as harmless in everything that you think and do, and you will make a difference. What is going on is an arena where man can see with his own eyes what harmfulness does and make a change. But the change has to begin with people like you, slowly and carefully, being as harmless as you know. Other than that, you create harm if you have harmful thoughts. they respond back. It goes back and forth. And the belief in harmfulness is very strong then. I know it is not the kind of answer that you want, but I really feel you can make a difference with harmlessness. Do you understand what I'm trying to reach?
No.
We could go on endlessly to work with what we're saying, but in the end we have to come to what can you do? You know, what can you? You ask the question, what can you do?
Yeah.
And as hard as that is, you know, I deal in relationship a lot, and this is another subject, but if I might use this for a moment. I deal in relationship a lot. And someone comes to me, and they have a very strong reason for being unloving toward whoever they're in relationship. I mean, it's real. It's not made up. They have been in some way harmed, which is the createdness that you're talking about. And they come, and a part of them says, listen, I want you to tell me how to get even. I'm really mad, and I want to get even because I'm right, and that person harmed me, and they did. What am I going to do? My answer is always the same. You've come to the wrong place because I can't help you. You know how to slug it out, all of you. You know how. And you could take up the cause and get out there and slug it out. But you see, a part of you says, I don't want to do that. So, as in loving relationship and unloving, there's only one choice. Are you going to stand there and choose to develop in you the quality that you want out there? And if you are, then you will make changes. If you become harmless, your environment will start taking on harmlessness. If those of you who are in unloving relationships start creating love in you, they will start be loving around you. And that's all you can do. Other than that, you know how to slug it out. That you know. So change comes when you change. When you create a different energy that then... Now let me explain exactly what I mean. I'm not speaking some high, lofty, esoteric. I'm speaking now. If you create harmlessness in your lovely home, outside, it will begin to release itself through you into the environment, out into the township, out into wherever you want it to go, into the red man's world, into the North American, wherever you want it to go, it will go. But you have to release it. You are the threshold, and you release into the environment that which you wish to. So if you really deeply want to affect change, any of you, you've got to do it on that level. If you do not, you are just pouring your own resistance, which only increases the dilemma, which then makes your side look more right, increases your own resistance, and away you go. I do not say that you are not right about what has happened, but if you want solution, that's the best I can give you. You create that which you want and release it into the world, and that's where you make changes. Otherwise, it's just a fight. Please remember, God is an experience that can be felt. It is not an idea that can be thought. So the more of your time that you spend asking for the experience of that feeling within you through whatever means is appropriate for you, the closer you come to the experience itself. If you find yourself in deep stress, if you would quickly put your awareness on your breath, going in and going out, in the heart center, you will find, without doing anything to change anything outside of yourself, anxiety begins to diminish. You cannot pay attention to two things at once. Not really. So when you move away from the anxiety and bury yourself deeply in the experience of breath, you find things begin to calm down quickly. Take time, please, to learn about breath. It has much to teach you. If you're watching your breath, you can't be thinking your thoughts. You're watching your breath. All of the awareness focused on rising and falling of breath, and then thoughts begin to fall away. And you find yourself in a state of dynamic, alive stillness. And there's nothing in the universe but the rising and the falling of breath. Those of you who want to have love in your life, many of you go and do it the other way. You say, I know, I want someone out there to love me. And so you seek and you find, and then lo and behold, it ends. Either you drop out of the basket or he or she does. Somebody's always dropping out of the basket. And then you're there all by yourself and you're sitting there. Well, that one didn't work, but there's someone else I know. So you wait, you wait, you wait, you wait, you watch. And then all of a sudden you pull one in, you put them in the basket with you, and you sit there and you start to play in this little sandbox. And all of a sudden one of them goes out, goes one, or out goes the other, and there. All right, now. If you want a loving relationship in your life, then the only thing I can tell you is you start being responsible for creating a feeling of love inside of you moment after moment after moment after moment. Love of self, love, love, love. Just begin to let it out. And when you create that, then the universe allows whoever is the perfect match for that feeling to move into your life. If, on the other hand, you have doubt and you have fear, then what you create is the like pattern outside of yourself, and then you have fear and people who are afraid to get close. So the answer to anyone who wants a deep and abiding love outside of themselves is to create within themselves. I don't care who you're married to. I do not care. I mean this totally. You can be married to the worst, what can we say? persona imaginable, who mistreats you, who doesn't understand you, who doesn't listen to you, who doesn't communicate with you. Am I using all the right words? All of those things, all of that out there. I don't care who you are at the moment aligned with. You can change it, and there's no doubt about it. And the way is to just begin to identify a feeling of love inside of you. Just start talking. What does love feel like? Just love. I love you. I love you. I love you. Do it over and over. Start moving around that wonderful word. It begins to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You identify it. You know, you say such outrageous things as, I love you, talking about yourself. I love myself. I love myself. In this moment, I feel love for myself. You know, if you can't feel it out there, it doesn't matter. Feel it. I feel love for myself. And you do it, here we go again, 100 times a day, and you begin to develop within you that which you thought you had to find outside of yourself. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And as you develop this wondrous love power, or whatever power you're seeking, peace, wisdom, whatever, creativity, dynamic life, all these things, as you just keep being resolute on building that, it magnetizes the physical body. You are a magnetic energy field, and as you dwell on those deep things that you want in your life, you draw them to you, not through other bodies. Please understand, you don't draw them to you through other bodies. There is a vast, again, amazing energy sweep. I wish for an instant you could see. Well, you do in your sleep, but you don't remember when you come back. The vast energy sweeps that embody all of these things that you're looking for. And they're just wandering around this planet saying, well, who needs me now? And the minute you start turning, this is good. Oh, there's one. Whoosh, down. It's just as literal as that. Waiting for somebody to ask it to come and enter. And so here it comes. And so now you are building this incredible power inside of you. augmented not by other people, please hear this, but by this vast, wondrous other that is constantly there. Now, the side effect is, as you magnetize your own physical body, your world outside matches that which is in you. It just matches it. It just puts up the same magnetic power and it moves to you. Don't go to the material world and ask for A, B, C. It doesn't matter. That's not what you want. What you want is to be filled with the essence of what you're looking for. You want to be filled with the power of knowing. And you just have to keep asking. That which you dwell upon, you become. You dwell on doubt, you become doubt. You dwell on judgment and comparison and unworthiness, and you become that. And then the world looks at you and says, mm-hmm, you're right, you're not worthy. I knew it all along. You're not worthy. You say, ah, I was right. The world sees what you show them to see. You do not need anything that you don't already have, because every one of those vast sweeps of energy is simply waiting to be called on. Ask, and it shall be opened unto you. And that has always been the way. Nothing fancy. But be as specific in the feeling as you can. Don't say, I want love, I want love, I want love, I want love, and get it all mixed up. Get in there. What does that mean? I want to feel that. You call, it'll come. Is there a difference between emotions and feelings? Absolutely. Emotions are right here. You could feel them like this if they have a physical tension. They churn. They churn. They're on the surface. They churn you. They churn you. Feelings are something, all right, let's put it this way. An emotion is something that stirs up the surface of you. You feel them. Your throat constricts, your solar plexus begins to move in funny ways. Oftentimes your stomach can begin to cramp. Your head often will go into some kind of tension and become constricted. Emotion almost always has, as an accompanying aspect of it, some kind of a hanging on. Even you can say, but isn't love an emotion? Well, if you are working with what I would call mundane love between two people, you don't feel it with a deep, open stride of power. You feel it almost always as some kind of hanging on. It's as if you have a fist and you're hanging on to something. It's the constriction. Test it out. Even in the most wondrous, enraptured moment of that kind of love, the next thought is, oh my God, am I going to lose it? You hang on. Yes. So you hang on. Now, feeling starts deep within. And so you sit and you go within and you just say, love. And it begins, you hold in your awareness that a deepening. That's all you have to remember, is a deepening. And it then moves in because it's real. Emotions are unreal. You see, they are. They are unreal. They have no stability. They have no longevity. They are as the clouds that just go. But the sky is real. So the emotions are as the clouds. And reality or feeling, that other deep reaches,
is the sky. Now, if it's easier for you to use the thought of deep mind, some people do better with thoughts like deep mind rather than feeling. Deep mind, deep mind, deep self, deep awareness rather than feeling, then use it. But the moment you say deep, you go down into and begin to feel these vast reaches that just begin to come up from inside. You see, we began with the idea of the internal world, the internal landscape. And that's the deepened, steady, broad, strengthening feelings. And the emotions ride the waves, and they disappear constantly. Another way, we said the one thing you never doubt is that I is present. You never wake up and say, am I here? All right, now, back to that I feeling. Some of you can work with that. I. There is an I-ness about that. You feel I in a certain way. Emotions come and go. One minute you're lustful, another moment you're angry, then you're jealous, then you're sad, then you're happy, then all the, and they come and they go, and they just dance and float. But these are deep reaches. And all you have to do is to turn within, and the deepening process happens. It's deep in there. I'm sorry? Yes. Yeah. They've moved, you see, the physical, without the physical and the emotional play a dance together. And then we throw, just for fun, the mental level. But those are all external. The words don't do it. I hope you're getting some trace feeling. All you need to do is to deepen. That's really the only word, is to deepen. You put out the call to deepen, and all of the deepening will begin. You see, you can't deepen. You don't know how. You don't need to know how. All I'm telling you is be willing to deepen. Keep turning into and being aware of deepening inside of this physical body. This is the black hole. Is in here. Out of which the other side, an entire new universe, totally new, manifests. This is the deepening. Just ask, and it's as if, here we go, little joke, it's as if on the other side of the black hole are all these, and they're all pulling. You say deepen, and they're on the other side pulling you closer and closer and closer. It's like that. If you could just really believe it's partly like that, really, it's partly like that, that there are energies on the other side of the black hole that are trying to pull you through it, so you can explode onto the other level. You're not alone. Those of you who do the course, you know, you, in terms of Jesus pulling on the other side, maybe that's not the analogy they use, excuse me, but that's how I experience it. They're on the other side pulling, because I'm there too, pulling. The question is, how can you, do you need to go to someone for either past life regression or therapy or analysis or rebirthing or all these words, or is there some way to do it yourself? For some people, and this is why you have to keep absolutely free of all judgment or assessment, for some people, going into past lives is essential. Going into regression is essential because they believe in past lives. They believe in the life of the body. They believe so strongly that they want to go through all the garbage cans in order to understand. Mm-hmm. So they go back through all the garbage cans. I bring this up because Mary Margaret had this vision once of an endless road and aligned on either side endless garbage cans, and she thought, good grief, I have to go through all of those garbage cans. You see, it's that kind of idea. All right, now some people, the answer is yes for a few garbage cans, and pretty soon you get tired of paying, you get tired of the garbage, and you think, good grief,
There's got to be another way. Now, I will tell you my solution. There are other solutions. This is not the end-all and be-all. My solution is to deepen your knowing that you are not the body. If you are stuck with the idea that you are a body, then all of the things that happen to the body are very real, and they impinge on you, and they hurt you, and they cripple you. Now, 99% of your day, all of you, is spent convincing yourself that you are a body. It takes a lot of effort. You hold this world together. Don't worry, we'll get there. You hold this world together by believing it. I'm this body, I'm a body, I am. This hurts, that hurt then, this is hurting now. There is such a thing, it's all real, it's real, it's real, it's real. All right, now, I'm coming in at a high level here. I understand that. But to me, you might as well come in at the high level and get free of it. Now, if you remember this morning, remember what we shared this morning, you and I directly. If you are determined to experiment, you don't believe this now, and you don't need to. Belief has nothing to do with whether this works or not. If you will just begin, every time you look at someone, to just remember to slip past the camouflage, which is what the body is, and just say, past the camouflage, say whatever you want, and just say, there's light there. I don't care what you say. There's openness. There's vastness. There's God, whatever word, just slip past that idea over and over again. When you hear someone speaking to you, realize you're hearing a camouflage coming, and just try to listen to the sound. Don't listen to the words. See, the words are camouflage. Just listen to sound. When you're out walking, when you're looking at everything you see, just realize that somehow you have thrown a camouflage over this entire thing, and keep looking for the what's behind the camouflage. You know, it's as if this great fog is there, and you look, try, I know it's there, I know it's there. Your determination, do you understand, to slip past the camouflage or the fog to the real behind it, makes the statement. And if you start feeling emotional pain, ooh, I feel, I know how I'm feeling, all right, wait. Just get that feeling. Someone has probably churned it up in you. As you hear the words, just try to slip, that's camouflage. That's camouflage. That's not real. It's somehow distorted. It's not real. When you feel your own pain, when you feel all these emotions, this is camouflage. What's deeply, deeply, deeply within me? Because once again, we go back to the emotional realm, which is where the damage is done. Now, I'm coming in at a very high level, and many people will fall off this mountain. They can't make the stride. But I simply tell you, if you want to get to the top as fast as you can, this has to be the way. Otherwise, you have to go through a certain number of garbage cans. Everything that is said to you is said from a human being looking for exactly what you're looking for. And anything that does not tell you that you are loved is a lie. That person is in stress and fear and guilt, and they are torqued, so they can only see through a warped glass. And you, by your abiding dedication to just saying it's camouflage, it's confusion, there's something else, show me that, will begin to have it move into the foreground. Do you understand? I know it's coming in at the high level, but I see no other solution for you, my friends.
I don't want to dig through the garbage.
No, you see, you either believe in the body. You see, if you believe in the body as a reality, then we have to admit that you are warped. I love this word. What is it? Oh, just a moment. I love it. Dysfunctional. You've come from a dysfunctional family, and you are dysfunctional. Let me tell you something. You all come from dysfunctional families. And you're all dysfunctional until you come to the knowledge that something quite different is going on here. It is a camouflage. The illusion. And behind it, and radiating through it constantly, is the real. We said it this morning, show me the real. Another way of saying the same thing. You're lined up, my friend. If you'll just keep moving. It takes a lot of awareness. But the law is simple. For every step you move, it moves 10. Then you take 2, 200. And you take 3, 900. It just, the increments of how it moves toward you is not based on a ratio of 1 to 1. Believe that. Believe that. It's the only solution that I have. Otherwise, we have to feel that there's something that can be corrected. You can fine-tune anything, but the illusion is still there. You can go to a very good therapist and get yourself so that you perform beautifully in this world. But so what? If you don't know who you are, what possible difference does it make how well you perform in this world? How many people applaud you? How many people sit at your feet in adoration? What difference does it make if you don't know who you are? It's just more garbage cans. Garbage cans contain beautiful things as well as ugly things. And they're all the same until you know who you are. And the only way is to be so ready to hold to that commitment, to see it in everything and to hear it. All sounds are mantra. All beings are Buddha. It's truth. And your dedication will open it. The fog will go. The camouflage will dissolve. And what is there will fill you, and you will never ask again. Nothing short of that will satisfy the thirst of the soul. Yes?
The real is you.
Absolutely. Huh? Yes, the real is you. But you see, what that word means will be wonderfully exciting, because the you that you have in your mind is not the you that will be on the other side of the fog. That's the delight of this whole thing. But you have to get through it to remember it. And the minute you see it, you say, how did I forget that? How did I forget that?